I should have eaten a Dorito before we started.
A Dorito?
Yeah.
Just one single Dorito?
Well, because I had stared at them and I was like, I want one of those. And now it's too late.
I mean, you can. You can do what I do and not care that we have a podcast and eat on it anyway. I mean, you have a half a Pop-Tart. Is that this week's Pop-Tart? That did you just open that?
It is an old Pop-Tart. I can guarantee you I haven't tried to eat those nasty Pop-Tarts since then.
You don't like them? I like them.
I did not like them.
You just have a Pop-Tart sitting there. That's weird. Whatever, let's move on.
I forgot to throw it away.
Yeah, last week's episode, it took us literally forever to get to the point of us introducing the podcast. It was 6 minutes in.
I remember heavy staring as we like... Who's going to kick this fucking thing off?
Well, welcome back to Gumshoe Weekly.
The epicenter for murder mystery and me not having changed after work and I really can't stop thinking about it.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I will not go over and sniff you.
Well, I don't think I smell. I just would like to have on different clothes.
Oh, I'm wearing my sweater from high school.
Oh, you haven't changed it since high school? Jeez.
No, I'm like a cartoon character. I just wear the same outfit all the time. On the back.
Except for when I'm Quail Man. Does that say Munchkin?
That was my nickname in high school.
That's so cute. That is very much you. You are a Munchkin. You remember the Lollipop Guild.
I'm an angry old little man. Could definitely be a gnome. Wait. Say your name, because I already said mine.
Oh, Jello.
Okay. Jello and Brianna, back at it again.
Back at it again with the white Vans.
The dynamic duo. I really want to keep my teeth when I get out the dentist. You know when they take out your teeth? I want to be able to keep them.
Brianna, what are you going to do with them?
I don't know.
Gross.
I just want to keep them.
The only
I want to keep them in a tin. I don't want to just keep them loose like a psychopath.
A necklace?
Like a mother. I don't want to do that.
I want a bracelet of my teeth.
Yeah. I want to make earrings out of it.
I want to make glasses out of it. Around. Everyone's like, ugh.
That's disgusting.
Have you seen a tooth after they've pulled it from your head?
No.
So I got a really far back one pulled. Mm-hmm. And I remember as they were trying to pull it, they kept going, wow, this one's gnarly. It's in there deep. And I was like, I don't like that. It's not reassuring for you to tell me things are going unusually. Anyways, they pulled it out and they showed it to me afterwards. And they were like, look how gnarly it is. And it had like, the roots were like this.
Wow.
Like they were.
Like a lightning bolt.
It looked like they were grabbing into my mouth. And I had a big old hole in there for a long time.
No, the only time I got teeth taken out, they knocked me out.
Oh.
I got all four of my wisdom teeth taken out at the same time.
Oh, that's a different thing, I think, a situation.
But if I had the option to keep them, I wish they gave me that option.
Well, I know I for sure took a picture of the one, but I can't fucking find it anywhere. I've gotten two teeth removed, and I didn't ask. I think I asked to keep the one. I didn't get knocked out for any of them, and then the one they had to keep giving me shots in the mouth because they weren't working.
Mm-mm. Nope.
They did, like, three, and I was like, this is actually really fucking cool. Because I kept feeling like all my teeth were going to fall out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I liked that feeling.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question.
Okay, what's your question?
Do you have a favorite Disney princess?
Yeah, it's Mulan.
Mulan's a good one.
That was always the movies I really liked. Mm-hmm. She dared to be different and all of that. Mm-hmm. She's definitely the 90s girl's Merida, because Merida is also rock solid, but not my time, so.
Yeah.
But very much.
I don't think I've ever actually seen that movie.
Brave?
Or yeah, Mulan? I've seen Mulan. I don't think I've seen, like, I think I've seen bits and pieces of Brave.
It's on some streaming service. I can't remember what. I think it's on Netflix. But that is a really solid movie, because in that one, straight up, they're like, we're gonna marry you off. And she's like, fuck this. And
yeah, I remember, like, the concept
it's
of it.
My bow. She puts her bow on the table. Anyways, not important, but she would definitely be good for, like, younger kids to be like, I don't have to have a man. But that was like Mulan. It was like, I could be the man. Yeah. Fuck you.
The focus wasn't on, like, the her getting a man kind of thing.
Or her getting, she rescued herself.
Yeah.
And that was also Merida, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Merida was like, what if I go be chaotic in the woods for a long time with my bear family? Because she turns her family into bears. I don't know if you know that.
I remember the mom and the babies. I don't remember anybody else being yeah. there. So on the topic of that, I just got some great news. Disney now owns Rocky Horror. So Frankenfurter is a Disney princess. So that's my favorite Disney princess. I was going to
say, is that your fave?
That's my favorite Disney queen.
The queen. The only way this is valid is if they redo it, but they recast Tim Curry as Tim Curry and they don't acknowledge that he is decrepit.
Yeah, I don't even...
I know.
He looks like a bloated dead fish.
I can't get over the Criminal Minds season he was in years ago. It was haunting. They did good.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's how I imagine he looks every day, and I don't think that's true. I think true.
That is how he looks every fucking day. Well,
they
day.
Definitely made him look nastier.
Yeah. He probably doesn't, like, sweat as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was a gross. Good concept for an episode. Fucking horrifying to watch.
Yeah.
I miss that show, but I rewatched the entire thing. I can't do it again.
No, thank you. I will not watch that from beginning to end. Nah.
The last two seasons I only saw one time because everything else I had rewatched.
Have you watched the new season of Big Mouth?
No, I have not.
It's very good.
Is it?
It's very good.
You know what
I feel like they just keep trying to outgross themselves.
Yeah.
So I don't recommend the first episode for you.
Oh, there's poop stuff.
There's a poop thing.
I
100%.
Don't know what I'm... Do I skip it? I don't know what to do.
I think that's the fourth episode. So you can watch the other episodes. Don't watch the fourth one. Do you want me to tell you what happens?
I don't think so. I think I should not watch at all any of it. Is it one of those ones where that episode?
I don't think you should watch that episode at all, because the whole...
Oh, so it's like one of the ones where it centers around it?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, I won't.
Episode 4? I still want to really tell you what it is, though.
Is it going to really yuck me out?
No, alright, so basically just the point is that Andrew is constipated, basically.
Uh-huh.
But it really gets in your face. There's a whole there's a whole singing number where animals have buttholes as eyes. So it's a little gross. I'll tell you the ending. He does give birth to twins.
Ew.
It was fucking, even I was like, this is a little much.
Oh my
God. He makes eye contact with his poop. It was a whole thing. I wasn't fun.
This is fucking gross. You're right. But thank it's really you for good sparing me. Oh, God. I actually started watching the next season of Disenchantment.
I didn't get far at all. We stopped watching it, like, the first season. The new season? No, we stopped watching it, like, the first season. I think it was just we weren't in the right place for it.
Yeah, you have to get through to the end, because that's when it brings you to being, like, the halfway through the season, you realize that you're watching a different show than you started.
Yeah, I think we have to just watch it again.
Because the first two are like the first two episodes are like establishing episodes.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking, the guy who did that, Matt Groening, I think, he also did Futurama.
Yeah.
But he like reviews food on his Instagram. Like no one asks him to do it and he does it. And I love that. Because literally no one is like, you should start reviewing food. He was on something, it was like Drawfee or something, and they were like, you review a lot of food on your Instagram. He's like, yeah, you know, that's just for fun. It literally is. Like,
I love that energy.
Yeah, right? He literally is like, yeah, I hear that they get like a new thing at Wendy's, and I'm like, I gotta go try that. And then he does like a little food review. But
that's cool.
I really like that show.
I gotta watch it again.
Uh-huh.
Me and Alonzo just subscribed to get a subscription box for that snack crate thing.
Oh.
Where you get like like snacks from around the world.
Uh-huh.
I'm very excited about it.
That looks good. I like that. Oh. One other thing. I started watching The Closer, which is a TV show from two. Guess the year.
Isn't that like.
There's a 2 in the front.
12?
2006.
Oh my God.
I started watching The Closer, and I have watched. In the span of, because I was watching it as I was writing my stories, so I watched, like, the first 6 episodes in one day, because they all recorded in a lump, and now I'm waiting for the rest to record before I can watch more. But it's very good.
Mm.
Very. And I never watched it when it was on TV before. I just remember seeing commercials for it all the time.
I did try to watch that show that you really liked, the Aquarius one.
Oh, Aquarius?
Didn't like it.
Really? That's,
maybe I just wasn't in the right headspace, but I was like, okay.
It's a very powerful show. It is very challenging.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that you're like, I don't think this bettered me as a person when you watch it.
I think it's because I read that book, Girls.
Oh, the one where it's about them in real life?
It's like a fictional retelling.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, this girl who was...
The Manson girls?
Yeah. She was a Manson girl, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, the one that nobody knew was ever really there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I, like, reading that book kind of put me off to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, like, a fictional retelling of the Manson story.
Yeah.
It was just, like, I was like, I guess I was like, I've already been here.
Well, also David Duchovny.
I fucking love David Duchovny. He was incredible in Californications, which is definitely, if you love David Duchovny, you have to watch Californications. It's just so good. It's just a really good fucking show. It was really good.
You know what? I bet he fucks.
Yes.
IRL. Not in that show, obviously. Oh. In that show. Fornication's in the title. I'm not a fool.
It's a whole thing. It's a really good show, though. I highly recommend that one. All right, let's get into it.
All right, let's do this thingy, Mabob. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Wait, let's say that over.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Paper.
Scissor. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock. Rock. Paper, scissors, shoot, paper.
No, nope, that's scissors.
You said rock, you fuck.
Who wins?
That one doesn't count.
How?
Because you said rock teaching. And went like this.
Wouldn't this count over what I say?
No.
No. How not?
Because why'd you say rock? Because
I was like, she's going to throw a fucking rock out. Watch.
I don't know because I wasn't keeping score.
1-1.
Oh,
I think you got me the first time.
So we need to go again. If you have one and I have one.
What the fuck? No, I got you two times. You threw paper first? Do we roll the tape?
Do we? We can. Hold on. Okay, we got to do one more at least.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
We rolled back the tape, guys.
We rolled back the tape because we didn't trust anyone because I watched Brianna lie with her hands and mouth at me.
I threw it out first and then yelled rock.
Like rock. So you were making a rock with your hand and then you went and you said rock as I was already out with my paper and you were like,
that's a lie.
Rock.
No, I did not.
He didn't go like this. He went like this with your tiny little gremlin hands. Okay.
So 1-1?
Yes, yeah, still 1-1. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot, rock.
Paper.
Okay.
I win.
Fine.
Mine's is lighthearted today, so you should go first.
Okay. So mine is not that far back. I can hold my book like this. Go back. So, July 24th, 2019, Alexandra Makasanu went missing hitchhiking from Dobro Sloveni to her home in Carousel, Romania.
Romania.
Actually, she was going from her home in Carousel, Romania to town, which would, I think, be Dobro Sloveni.
Mm-hmm.
Hitchhiking is a common form of transportation for the 14-year-old because Romania has a serious lack of public transportation in the countryside. We don't hear any demands for her return or updates at all until 11:05 a.m. July 25th, the next day. At this time, there is a call placed to 112, which is the equivalent of 911 in Romania, placed by Alexandra herself on a phone she located inside the room she was being held captive in. So they answer and they're like, hello, what's your emergency? She says, I have the transcripts here. She says, hello, I want to talk to the police. She's speaking very clearly, but there's like a cleared rush to what she's saying. There's like a panic there, but she's speaking very clearly. They say, what happened? What's your name? What happened, madam? What's your name? She says, I'm a miss. I'm 15 and a man kidnapped me yesterday. So she's 15. I said she was 14. That's my bad, guys. And a man kidnapped me yesterday. They go, what's your name? She says her name. She says, please hurry. I don't know where I am. They say, what do you mean you don't know where you are? What's your location?
Bitch, I got kidnapped. What the fuck you mean?
Yeah. She's,
sorry.
She says, in Dobro, no, Carousel. He took me to Carousel, but I don't know where exactly. And they say, in a tone, like, I was listening to the when you came in, and they are very, like, condescending. But they say in, like, an ironic tone, well, give me a location or something in Carousel. How do you think we can find you? Hello?
Oh, nah. You don't get fucking training, sensitivity training, then you shouldn't have this fucking job.
She said, yes, hold on, please. They say, have you been raped? She confirms. They say, okay, stay on the phone, but try to give me a location to know exactly how to find you. She says, he came, come quickly, please. So the call is disconnected, and you hear the 112 operator saying, well, where shall we come in Carousel, man? Well, what the hell should I do? She is in Carousel, she was kidnapped and taken to Carousel, but she doesn't know where, and the police is talking. Translated, so it's not 100% translated.
And you said this wasn't that long ago?
This was last year. No, this is 2019.
And they don't have the fucking technology? Isn't that like... Sorry.
Yeah. So then the operator contacts the police to tell them about the girl's call. So she makes a second call at 11:06, according to the transcript. And the operator tries to find her exact location. She gives them some details. She tells them that she saw a dam before she was blindfolded. So, and she thinks the kidnapper's car is gray and that it's flat in the front and that she's being held captive in a house. She even finds a business card in the room she's being held captive in, and she gives him the name and the number and the location on the card. And she tells them that she's calling from the kidnapper's phone. So the operator explains it to a policeman who takes over the call. And she says, please hurry. And the policeman says, where shall we come, miss? Tell us. She goes, excuse me? And he's like, where? She says, I don't know exactly. We passed by the dam, but now I think I'm in Bold. It can't be anywhere else. He said, where in? Where are you? And then she said, in Bold. Please hurry. Nope. She says, in Bold. And he goes, in Bold? Oh, in Old County? So then she reads the address off of the business card. He tells her they're going to send a team. She said, please hurry because I'm scared he beat me. And he says, okay, stay there. Like, rushed. And she says, I'll stay right here because I can't get out. Please come. And then you can hear her, like, starting to, like, panic even more, like, and cry. He goes, are you with anyone? Are you alone? How'd you get there? She said, no, I'm alone. He says, you are alone. I understand. Stay there. She's almost crying now. She says, I'm afraid. The police on the radio says, hello, team. He gives the address given by her, and he said, there's a girl beaten and raped, okay? So she hears the conversation, starts to cry, and she says, please come quickly. I'm afraid, please. He says, miss, hang up the phone. You'll be contacted, and the police will come there, okay? And she says, please hurry. And he goes, yes, okay. She says, sir, there's a big car in the yard. And he said, okay, exactly where are you? Exactly, stay exactly where you are. So then the call ends. She makes a third call at 11:12, which is 6 minutes later. from the first call starting. She was on there for a few minutes. So she asked the 112 operator if they sent someone to help her. So then the emergency operator transfers the call to the police. And then she's like, did you send someone here? And the policeman, in a different one, in an irritated tone, says, we did. Stay there. They can't fly in 2 minutes, miss. Stay there, okay? And now she's getting desperate. She says, please come. I'm afraid. And he goes, well, who are you afraid of? Hello, who are you afraid of? She said, of him. He beat me. And he says, him who? So she gives the policeman the information from the business card again. And she tells him she's not sure if that's actually the kidnapper. And the policeman tells her to wait because the team will arrive in a few minutes. She says, please stay with me on the phone. I'm afraid, please. He says, I can't stay on the phone, miss. We have other calls. Stay where you are. A team will come. It will definitely come in 2 to 3 minutes without fail. And then you can hear her calling in the, crying in the background. And she says, okay. And he goes, okay, don't worry. Calm down a bit, okay? She's like,
Mary, you get kidnapped and tell me how it feels.
And raped. And she goes, I'm afraid. And he says, you should try to calm down, okay? Calm down and the police team will come. They're on their way. She says, okay, please. He says, hang up the phone before, because if we're talking, the police team can't talk to you. She said, all right, yes. He said, okay. So, during this, they're trying to trace her call. So they start, they're struggling to trace the call, and from the information she gave on the business card, they were like, that's apartment buildings. And she says, no, I'm in a detached house. So they know it's not an apartment building, so they know it's not the address on the business card. They try to trace her call, and they are, like, triangulating it. But they find 3 buildings. They search all of those buildings. They don't end up identifying the house until Friday, which is the next day. It's not the 26th. She went missing on the 24th. She called them on the 25th. They're able to identify which house the call was originating from by 2 a.m. on the 26th. Despite this, the police force prosecutors, Popescu, Christian Ovidiu, and Vasilescu Liviu. And Zaviano, Cataline, Alexandru agreed to wait 4 hours before using a search warrant that they pushed to get after identifying the location that they needed to infiltrate. They were like, we have to get a search warrant before we can go in there. They did not legally need one. There was no reason to get a search warrant. They didn't need one. They pushed to get a search warrant, and then the prosecutors pushed them to wait 4 hours before using it to enter the building, even though they weren't required to have one. So by the time they get in there, it is 19 hours after she placed her call. 19 hours. And she is not there.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes. So they are able to figure out whose house it is. She had said on the call that she could only see a gate, that she couldn't leave the room she was in. They find that it is Gheorghe.
Gheorghe.
Gheorghe. Dinka. They call him Dinka. That's his last name.
Okay.
It's his house. So he had picked her up hitchhiking. Mm-hmm. She noticed they were going the wrong way because she needed to go into town. And he told her that he was going to take her where she needed to go and wouldn't let her out of the car. He's a 65-year-old mechanic. And he raped and beat her and then locked her in his house. shortly after being arrested, he confesses to his crime, interestingly enough. He confesses to taking her, to killing her. He also confesses, while he's in there, not only to killing her and incinerating her body, a process which would have taken roughly 8 hours. Mm-hmm. He also confesses to the kidnapping, rape, and murder of Louisa Melencu before this. They don't ask him about that.
Okay.
And he confesses to it. So, the issue with the incinerating of her body is that it would have taken 8 hours. And the belief is, if he killed her, which is what they were implying, is that he killed her because he found out she called the police, why would he then take a very long process to get rid of her body when he could have disposed of it in other ways? The point is that they didn't find any body. So that's why he was like, oh, I incinerated her. And he said he incinerated Louisa as well. And Louisa, I think, had been like a year or a few months previous to this, mm-hmm. prior to this.
Do they have any missing reports for this Louisa girl?
Yeah.
Okay. So it is a real person. It's not some shit he just made up.
Yes, it's a real person. So, they don't understand why they incinerated her. The police are pretty heavily criticized. It took them 19 hours to find her.
And they were dicks.
Yes. They also, the uncle of her, uncle is a pretty prominent businessman, and he used to be on, I think he had his own, like, talk show. He released the transcripts to the public. Because he had gotten information about her location and he had shared it to any authority that would listen, and none of them listened. None of them did anything with it. So he released the transcripts because he thought that what happened was totally avoidable.
100%.
Yes. So upon searching Dinka's property, they don't find anything. They find some of her jewelry and they find some blood. And they find teeth, which they attribute to being her teeth. So they test them, and there was, I think, a small DNA match. However, the teeth had dental work on them that she did not have. But the way that they tested the teeth was by using this very highly destructive process and testing them all as one set. So the way that they tested them degraded the sample so much that they wouldn't be able to test them individually ever again.
I'm sorry. Are we in the fucking 90s? Like, what is happening here?
And this is less than 2 years ago. Yes. So, interestingly, both the families of Louisa and Alexandra received calls from men offering reassurances about the girls shortly after they disappeared. Alexandra's mom got a series of calls before and after the supposed murder, at least one of them made by Dinka, telling her that Alex was well, got married, and ran away to work abroad. And then before, in April, Louisa's family got two similar calls, one believed to be from Dinka and another from an unknown man suggesting accomplices. Yes, incinerating takes approximately 8 hours, so that's why it doesn't make any sense that he would do that. It also creates an unpleasant smell and smoke. The neighbors gave conflicting testimonies with the smells, and none of them saw smoke. And there would be at least a small amount if he had incinerated a body for 8 hours.
And he just has an incinerator?
Yeah, exactly. The cops were highly criticized for this. Because for multiple reasons. First of all, the 19 hours. Second of all, the 911 call. Everything. They were also criticized because they were treating the case as murder and not kidnapping when they didn't have bodies. They ruled her to be dead, even though they had destroyed the teeth so much that they couldn't actually tell if they were her teeth, and that's what they were ruling the death off of. And because he confessed. They also refused, the cops refused many requests made by the lawyers of the families that were relevant to the case, such as judicial experiment to ascertain if Dinka could have incinerated the bodies of the victims as described, questioning important witnesses, and suspecting and suspected accomplices to Dinka's, referring to any other criminal acts that were applicable. The reason that it's public, like widely accepted that Dinka is lying about his confession is because they think that the girls didn't die. They think that he put them into sex trafficking and that it was easier for him to say they died, and then it's easier for him to go down for these two things than to go for a whole sex trafficking ring, which they think he was a small part of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they also believe that... So, the prosecutors that I stated earlier, LaVieu, L-I-V-I-U, had footage. He had obtained footage of Louisa's disappearance, which captured Dinka's car, shot by a surveillance camera. This is before Alexandra was kidnapped, and he never questioned Dinka or searched the car or the property about this. And then he didn't share the footage with the other prosecutors until the 27th. And he only showed them a still picture from the footage, not the one. They had stills that showed the license plate. And he did not show that one. He also had the whole video and he showed them a still instead.
It sounds like a cover.
One of the other prosecutors, Ovidiu, argued that Alexandra was murdered at 2 a.m. by strangulation, even though there was no body and this was days before the confession. On the 27th, over 2,500 people participated in a protest in Bucharest. Newly appointed Interior Minister Nicolae Moga dismissed the National Police Chief Ioan Buda, the Olt County Prefect Peter Niasu, and the Olt County Police Chief Christian Foiculescu before resigning himself a week after he had taken the office.
Jeez.
Yes.
Not fucking around.
No. His stance, I have it written here. The interior minister resigned, saying that anyone guilty of delaying the police response would pay. The minister of education, Ekaterina Andronescu, was dismissed by the prime minister after saying, on the news, said, young girls should know better than to get in the cars with strangers.
Oh, fuck you.
Yes.
Fuck your face.
People did not respond well to that, so she was fired as well.
Good for her, you dumb twat.
Yes. Yes. Which was totally in the vine of, they were just like, this is a completely unacceptable. Everything that's happening is unacceptable. The protesters, when they were walking through the streets, they were chanting incompetence. Because they believe that the cops were so incompetent.
Yeah.
A lot of people resigned or were fired, but the public was calling for even more. They also had really good signs. One of them said...
I love a good protest sign.
In Romania, the victim is to blame. And then it said under it in red writing, rape, beating, abuse, harassment, murder. And this other person had a picture with a Grim Reaper on it, and it says... You have called 112. What's your emergency? Because they believe that she...
Mm-hmm.
They signed their death warrant. Prime Minister Viorica Dancila was trying to limit the damage to the government and also letting go everybody who she felt failed it.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, Romania must mend what can be mended and replace what can be replaced to make... state institutions operate as soon as possible the way they should have operated and unfortunately failed. She basically had said that the educational one, that she was making light of the situation and she was totally missing the point of it, and that's why she was let go. And the lady's like, I didn't mean it like that. And it was like, doesn't matter, it's how you said it.
Yeah.
Who's
to say that they just got in the car? Like, you don't know the situation. And even still.
Well, all...
That's, I fucking, like...
That's the thing. They all hitchhike there. There's no public transportation.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that.
It's a normal thing. So right now, the biggest question, the thing is that this led to a lot of changes that have recently been made to the judicial system being rolled back because they felt that they were not actually helping with justice.
Must be nice.
Yeah, it took the death of two young girls, though. And there is a wide belief that they are still out there, and that's where the question really remains. And they even actually, their cases ended up going international and being reported in Italy.
Wow.
Which is key because that is where the families think that they were trafficked to. So they think that the girls are still alive. Both of the families think the girls are still alive.
Yeah.
And they think that they are stuck in the human sex trafficking. So the real question is, where'd they end up? Because his shit was a total fucking lie about what he did with the bodies.
Yeah.
So, I agree. I think he was stealing them away to be put through the ringer. And that's my mystery. Where are the girls?
Wow.
Yeah.
That was heavy.
It starts with you knowing exactly who did it, and it ends with you not knowing what happened to the girl.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Those are good, not theory. Those are good theories.
Those are good. That's a good fake story. Oh, and I got my information from, got a little bit from Wikipedia. I got a lot from BBC.com. And I got the most from a Reddit page. And the person who had made it, they're like, their post is the one that I saw it from because they were like, where are the girls now? That was Reddit user DIESSEL_S. They live in Romania. So that's why they covered it.
Yeah.
It was very enlightening, very interesting. And then everyone was like, yeah, I think that they were sex trafficked.
That would make sense.
Yeah. So what's your story?
All right, let me paint a picture for you.
Paint.
The year is 1828.
Oh.
In the streets of Nuremberg, Germany.
Nuremberg.
On May 26th, the sun's high in the sky. No, I don't know.
Okay.
A teenager was found wandering the square alone, dressed like a simple country person. When spoken to, he was disoriented and incoherent. He seemed to be stumbling around almost as if he was drunk and walked like a toddler who just learned to walk.
Oh.
They described it as just picking up, instead of like heel to toe, just straight picking up his feet. And just like no heel to toe, just straight slapping his feet. Like he
wasn't sure how to use them.
Yeah. He had his hands clutched tight. He had in his hands clutched tight an envelope with two letters inside. Neither had a date written on them. Wait, nope, that's a lie. One had a date written on it.
Okay.
A citizen thought he was a madman or had a handicap. That's not what they wrote. They took him to a captain once there, the captain's servant answered, answered at the house of the captain. And the boy with his hat on his head, an unsteady posture, came forth with the words, "Be a horseman like my father." This was one of the few phrases he spoke, and he repeated it along with, "Don't know," and "Go home." During his interrogation, the "go home," he would say in a wistful tone, almost as if he was like sad or melancholy. Anyway. Although it was soon realized that he had no idea the meaning of these phrases and used them to express everything and anything. He was short and stout, broad shoulders, though his legs and arms were weak and the soles of his feet as soft as baby skin, showing a life entirely absent of physical work. So the captain reads over these letters, and the first letter was written by possibly a poor workman, and it was addressed to a captain in the army. Nobody in particular, just any captain. The letter writer wrote down how he had been, The letter writer had wrote down how he had been the one who looked after the boy since he was delivered to him on October 7th, 1812. The boy was taught to write and read and learn Christianity, all while in confinement, and was told he shouldn't step foot out the house no matter what.
Hmm.
The letter also stated that the boy wanted to serve the king in the army, and it was asked that the captain either take him or hang him. You choose.
Oh my god.
Yeah. The second letter looked like it may have been written by his mother, addressed to the workman who had taken him in, and that letter was dated 1812.
Mm-hmm.
It did have the date he was born, April 39th, 1812, making him 16 at the time that he was found, and his name was Caspar. K-A-S-P-A-R.
Yeah.
Caspar. That his name was Caspar and he had no last name. It also said that his father was a soldier of the cavalry and had died. The letter suggested that Caspar become a soldier once he hit 17. It ended with the mother writing she herself was too poor to look after him. So he had only two letters, one just a little bit of information about him, and then the other one was like, whatever, do what you want.
Yeah.
So after Caspar was taken to a room where he fell asleep on a straw bed provided to him, and after some time the captain returned, and it seemed nearly impossible to wake him from this dead sleep. They poked, they prodded, they pulled, and even forced him into a standing position to wake him up. Once he did finally wake up, he took in the bright uniform of the captain with childlike pleasure and kept repeating his usual phrase. He was offered food, mostly meat, but he immediately spit it out and had a fit. He would continue to reject any food other than bread and water. Eating anything else would follow with stomach pains, diarrhea, vomiting, violent sweats, and spasms.
Like they fed him like a prisoner.
Yeah. The very smell of, The very smell of meat or alcohol would make him convulse, and when given coffee, he would sweat and vomit. They spoke to him and gave him coins, which he got really happy, it excited him, and he kept repeating the word horse and making gestures to show he wanted to decorate a horse with shiny objects. Keep in mind, he's 16. He was given paper and pen, and to their surprise, wrote the name Caspar Hauser over and over, the only thing he could write.
Mm-hmm.
Caspar was given space to live in a tower for the next 2 months, where he was guarded heavily by a jailer. He was visited quite a bit by many different curious people. Some came only to taunt him or test him, while others brought him gifts and coins and the kindness and sympathy. It took a long time, but Caspar was taught to speak, and that was when he started to tell people of his life before.
Wait, so he could have learned to speak this whole fucking time?
Yes. It's weird. It gets weirder.
Okay.
So, he wasn't ever really taught to speak, but we'll get into it. Okay. So, he told people of how he spent his life locked in a small room with only a straw bed to sleep and a wooden horse to play with. He was given only bread and water, and he recalled how sometimes the water would taste strange, which he later believed had something in it to make him fall asleep.
Oh.
He remembered waking up from those spells and finding his hair and nails cut, his clothes cleaned, his body washed.
This is psychopathic.
Yeah. He said he was visited by a man who never showed his face and was fed by different people who didn't show their face. He was taught to speak a few words by the man, who then released him immediately after, which was when he was found in Nuremberg. So it was believed that he was brought to the streets of Nuremberg and then kind of like went, let go of. Yeah. So, obviously, it's like a lost child. They start to panic, and that's probably why they found him getting a little buck wild.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he would tell people of his past. He couldn't remember anything. He couldn't tell them where he came from. Couldn't tell them what the man looked like. Nothing. Caspar met a school teacher who would become his caregiver. There was a lot of contradicting names. So, the only one that kind of showed up every time was the teacher's name was just the last name Dumar.
Okay.
So he took on Caspar's case and provided him with round-the-clock education. So he taught him reading, writing, and even learning to play chess. Dumar was gentle and compassionate, and everyone was surprised at how fast Kaspar learned and picked up on things. He flourished in his new environment, and it was discovered he even had artistic talents. Dumar eventually, like, let him live with his family in his, like, house. Mm-hmm. I think it was, like, his daughter, or his niece, his wife, and, like, somebody else. So, on October 17th, 1829, the Dumar family had found Kaspar hiding in the cellar with a wound to his forehead. He told them how he was in the bathroom after a bad reaction to a walnut he ate when he was pulling his pants up when a man charged in and attacked him with a large knife. The man was hooded and short, so he was only able to catch Kaspar in the forehead because he was leaning over. He passed out, and when he awoke, he hid in the cellar, afraid that the man was still in the house. So, some say he cut himself as he wanted pity and sympathy, having had an argument just prior to this about his habits of childish fibs. However, witnesses came forward to say they did see a man matching Kaspar's description leaving the house and also hanging around the city days later. Ooh. Kaspar took time to recover, suffering from spasms and convulsions and hysteria, and some of the words he uttered in his and some of the words he uttered in his mania included, not murder, not be silent, not die. A man murder me, away, not murder me. I fond of everybody, harm nobody. Took me once out of my prison, you murder me. You murdered me before I knew what life is. You must say why you imprisoned me. He said later he had woken up in bed after the attack with the mother near me. With, in quotes, the mother near me. Mm-hmm. So people were worried that the person might try to come kill him again, so he was given to somebody else, a wealthy merchant, to be looked after. He was even given a job as a copyright. Unfortunately, he did have a tendency to lie. This didn't work out in his favor with his new home and worsened the environment for him. As the lady of the house reported, Kaspar freely spinning falsehoods and then sulking and throwing tantrums when confronted or reproached. On one occasion, after being scolded for dishonesty, he went to his room, and later, when a pistol shot sounded, his guards rushed in to find him lying face down, bleeding from his head where a bullet had grazed him. According to him, he had attempted to fetch some books by using a chair to reach. The chair slipped, and he fumbled for something to hold, initiating a pistol that hung on the wall.
Okay.
Yeah. So they think he was just, like, looking for attention, basically. Mm-hmm. So on December 14th, 1833...
Oh, he's much older now.
Yeah. Kaspar was told to go to a garden where he was told that he would learn about where he came from, his family. Mm-hmm. When he got there, he was attacked by a stranger who stabbed him in the chest, but he did manage to get home.
Ooh.
It wasn't until 3 days later that Kaspar succumbed to his wound and did die. But it was not before giving a theory of who he thought attacked him. He claimed he was lured into the gardens and stabbed in the chest by the same masked man who tormented him, and whom Kaspar believed to be the one who held him in captivity when he was younger. He collapsed multiple times while attempting to use his chamber pot. To which he groaned, "Oh God, to die in shame and mockery." And he did have to be carried back to bed after those couple times. He could barely eat, his complexion turned yellow, and he suffered from gangrene. He muttered unintelligibly one of his phrases to the effect of, "To many cats fell prey to the mouse." No context to that at all. There was a strange note found in a black purse, saying, the note said, Kaspar would not be able to tell people who killed him, but he was from the Bavarian border, and that his initials were M-L-O. No one has ever found out who the murderer was, and no one was ever found out who Kaspar really was. There is a theory, like, where he came from. There is a theory about Kaspar wanting pity, and perhaps to convince, the now uninterested Lord Stanhope of his former promise to take him to England, which Kaspar had been looking forward to. Lord Stanhope was just this British nobleman who took interest in Caspar. So people thought that he had plotted to stab himself to gain this dude's attention, basically, but accidentally went too deep. They thought this because the note found at the crime scene folded in Caspar's was folded in a way that Caspar particularly liked, which was the triangle style. Don't know what that is. And included spelling and grammatical mistakes common for Caspar.
Very victim blamey.
So before death, he was asked how he felt. He said he was all right, but very tired.
Oh.
He had asked the forgiveness of everyone he knew and held no grudges to anyone. So had no reason to feel anything but well. Which is strange considering he claimed to be attacked in a park a few days prior. So.
Yeah.
He said, it is said that he passed away peacefully on a December night. So. People in many countries did hear about this mysterious boy and try to find out. Oh, he was only 21, I think, when he died.
Oh.
Many people did hear about him and tried to find out who he was. Some people thought he was related to the Grand Duke of Baden and was actually the rightful heir to a royal throne, but he was hidden away for some nefarious reasons. They thought he was, you know, that's why he was treated so poorly. They even believed it was the British nobleman Lord Stanhope who had shown interest in Caspar and gave him presents and tried to get permission to look after him. He said that Caspar was Hungarian and not of noble blood. This was his theory. And many historians thought that Lord Stanhope himself might have been from the House of Baden, and that was why he was interested in Caspar and behind the attempt / successful murder of Caspar.
Ooh.
Both attempts. So, yeah, they thought he was just from that family trying to, like, keep him on the down low kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very Game of Thrones-ish.
Yeah.
Caspar was buried in the Stadfriedhof City Cemetery in Ansbach, where his headstone reads in Latin, "Here lies Caspar Husser. Riddle of his time. His birth was unknown. His death mysterious. 1833. And that is the story of Caspar Hauser.
That's very...
Hosier.
I want my tombstone to read something like that.
Very mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, let me set my sources. Wikipedia, obviously. Another one called edublockstutor.com, mm-hmm. Britannica.com, livescience.com. And most of my information was also from a Reddit user called WillyCat under the sub Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh my god, that's where I find mine too. What if we did the same story? That would have been so funny.
I am constantly in fear of that. I hope she didn't think to do this. But that's the story of him. There was a lot of like different things about this kid. They talked about how weird he was.
Uh-huh.
I
feel like if you're raised in a prison cell for 16 years, literally he couldn't eat anything except for bread and water.
Yeah, they think that he was part of an experiment of, like, what happens when you isolate children kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and then just kind of release them into the wild.
Yeah.
The guy who took him in was a philosopher? I couldn't fucking... A philosopher. Couldn't think of the word. Philosophist.
You did say philosophist.
What is that, a dinosaur?
No.
But yeah, that's that. They talked about most of the articles just had really weird things he could have or just were made up. Uh-huh. One of them was that when he sat down, they would spy on him. And they would be like looking at him. He didn't know that they were looking at him, and he would just sit down. But you know how you kind of like bend your knees a little bit when you're sitting with your legs out in front of you,
mm-hmm.
on the floor? They said that his legs were just flat to the floor. Like,
wait, what?
Like, all right, these are your legs when you're sitting. Like, your knees are kind of bent, right? He was just like this, almost like his legs.
His legs didn't work right?
I guess. What they the said fuck? That his legs lay like so flat
on the ground, his legs would flatten against
the floor. So much so that you couldn't even push a card through it underneath his legs. That's how flat his legs were to the floor.
I want to throw up. That's so fucked up. That's the worst thing you've told me the whole time.
There was a lot of really weird shit about him.
Flat to the floor. What else?
Yeah. They talked about how he could see things, but that one I don't think was a real thing. Just that he had, like, weird visions.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people thought this dude was a fucking con artist. Yeah. That he was just trying to get by.
Well, I feel like going along with his story, like, it's kind of shitty for them to be like, you just want attention. And it's like, yeah, he was in a prison cell for 16 years. Yeah. Give him something. Fuck.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. But then it's also like, where the fuck were you that they did this? You know what I mean? Like...
Mm-hmm.
Are there more of you, basically?
Ooh.
Are there more of you? What weird ring is this kind of thing?
Yeah.
Is this an experiment gone bad? Why are you weird?
I wonder if there are more weirdos like
you. You know what he kind of looks like? You remember that fucking, what was it? I think it was a Starburst commercial.
Stop. I just remembered your fucking thing about his legs and it derailed all my thoughts.
He dressed like the little boy from the Starburst commercial. You know what I'm talking about?
Like the berries and cream guy?
The berries and cream
guy. Berries and cream.
He looked like that with blonde hair.
Isn't that how everyone dressed?
Yeah, basically.
So why were his legs flat?
I don't know. They just talked about how he just kind of sat and stared. And his back was straight. Like, his back didn't bend.
His
like,
legs
he didn't stoop
would
over.
To the ground.
Just straight flat.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Yeah. It was real weird.
I can't.
So that's the mystery of Kaspar Hauser. Hauser.
I can't stop thinking about it. Brianna.
It's a little gross. Yeah, definitely. For sure.
The legs. Well, thanks for joining us.
It was another great week.
I'm going to think about that for
when
days.
When you go to bed?
Yeah.
Are you going to picture it? Here, I drew you a picture.
Stop it. Did you?
That's what it looked like. That's the floor. You can't see it because it's in blue pen.
Oh, my God.
But that's what it looked like. Just straight.
I don't like it.
If it was a regular person, it'd be like this, you know, because you kind of got your...
Yeah.
Nope, just straight.
Well, then they'd have to go, like, indented a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Like, weird. Like, those people who could do weird things with their hands.
Yeah.
And they just bend their fingers. My fat little fingers don't do that.
Your fingers are so short that it looks like I have an extra ligament on mine that you don't have. Because that's how small your little hands are.
That's also a trend on TikTok.
What?
Like, small hands. One girl looked like she had straight baby hands.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
disgusting.
Yeah, it's gross.
My best friend in high school used to say I had the, you know the, she was a church girl.
Mm.
You know that picture of the angel where he's like this?
Yeah.
She said, you have that baby's freakish hands.
Freakish hands. I wouldn't call your hands freakish, but they are like little raccoon hands. But I would say that you as
you know
a
what's
person,
crazy though?
What?
I have really good reflexes too. With my little hands,
I
could always
gonna fucking say that I feel like you as a person act like a little raccoon.
I'm Little King Trashmouth.
You're more of a raccoon than Rocky Raccoon is. Like, literally.
That's a compliment.
The way you're just like, you're very cagey. Are you a fucking raccoon? That someone turned into a little person?
I could see that.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're just so like.
I am very cagey.
Your weird evasive maneuvers, and you're just like, I have to run really fast and close to the ground.
I have to constantly tell customers, sorry, I like to run.
Do you really?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm a runner.
Sorry, I feel like you're chasing me.
And they're like walking with their fucking cane.
Yeah.
They're like six bookshelves behind me.
You're literally like bent over sprinting. Gotta get the fuck out of here.
Don't try and cage me.
Oh my God. I just, you know, I'm trying to keep it exciting. I like to be chased. And they're
exactly.
Like, that's not what I'm here for.
Oh no.
This was insane.
Let's end it.
This got derailed. All right, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at
Gumshoe Weekly
and Facebook at
Gumshoe Pod
and email us at
gumshoeweekly@gmail.com. Oh, we're also on Pandora now. Did you know that?
I remember signing us up for it. I
don't know. We're on it now. Hey. They emailed us in October to tell us we are now on Pandora.
I was just in our email too the other day and I didn't fucking see it. I did.
All right, we're on Pandora now, guys.
We're on Pandora. Listen to us on Pandora. Leave us a review.
Bye.
Bye.